We are joined right now by an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He is a key part of the NFL Today's coverage tomorrow and on Sunday. Very good friend of this program. Co-host of Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Co-host of the Baldy's Breakdowns podcast. Jason Lockenfora is my guest. JLC, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. Hope you are as well.
I am, Jason. It is a huge weekend, so we're a few hours away from the start. I got to ask you, there were certain times during the year where maybe we wondered whether or not we would get to this point. How are you feeling about this weekend, and how impressed are you that we got this far?
I'm pretty shocked. I mean, this was quite a needle to thread, 256 games in 17 weeks, at this moment in time in our country. And, look, there were going to be issues. There were going to be compromises made. There were going to be games that were played under far from ideal circumstances. I think everybody knew that going in, and frankly, there were far fewer of those situations than anyone at the league office or at the NFLPA could have fathomed. It worked better than anybody expected. You know, I feel for the Browns right now. I feel for Browns fans. That is a less than optimal situation. But viewing it through the lens we have to view it through, which is, you know, the sort of overall idea of actually crowning a champion and getting through this in some sort of a standard way, it's going to require teams to operate at times without people on the field or in the decision-making process or on the sideline who are critical to your operation, but for the sort of greater good and overall health of and well-being of the entire league, cannot take part.
We are talking to Jason Lockenfora at JLC. In terms of the playoffs, I'll get to that in a minute, but I want to actually ask you about a team that's not in, and that's the Texans. Back in October, you had reported that the Texans were going to involve Deshaun Watson in the hiring process for a new head coach. What has happened since then, and where does that stand right now?
That's what they told him, and as I reported back then, he did have preliminary conversations with ownership and, you know, made it clear that, you know, I hear great things about Eric Bieniemy. I'd love to have the opportunity to talk to Eric Bieniemy if you guys speak to him, and I think he'd be great for me. And you know, I've heard a lot about him through Patrick Mahomes, and he was led to believe that he would, not a decision-making role, and not even necessarily a seat at the table, but that he would sort of be kept in the loop and was given the impression that his voice matters. And the reality is they haven't interviewed Eric Bieniemy. I would be surprised if they interviewed Eric Bieniemy, in part because I don't think, if that's not someone whose resume and whatever it has them inclined to hiring him, and by they I mean new GM Nick Caserio and owner Cal McNair, then why interview him knowing he's probably not the guy or the direction we want to go in? And then now you're answering questions about, well, why wasn't it Eric Bieniemy? What didn't he do, et cetera? And they might not be able to skirt that issue now regardless, Jim. But it's a weird one. I mean, there were basically concurrent searches going on, one led by a search firm with a group of individuals and people interviewing with the hierarchy of that team and being told, we don't want to be the no-fun team anymore. We don't want to be New England South. We want to go in a different direction. At the very same time, the owner pretty much knows in the back of his mind that I really want Nick Caserio. I really wanted him a few years ago. And lo and behold, he got another New England guy.
Jason Lockenfora joining us once again. All right, Jason, this morning also you tweeted that Urban Meyer is meeting with Jacksonville today to discuss that head coaching job. What is your sense to the overall interest on both sides?
It's significant enough to reach this point. And this dance has been going on for quite some time now. I first caught wind of it roughly 2 weeks ago and reported on it for CBS going into week 16. And at that point, the Lions were sniffing around a little bit too, but that seemed kind of a little bit more on the sort of periphery, a little more cursory, whereas this Jacksonville thing had some heat to it. And the question was, you know, would Urban actually decide that for family reasons, for health reasons, for lifestyle reasons, I'm willing to go in a completely, I'm willing to change all that up and go back into this meat grinder. And honestly, the pro circuit is even more of a grind than college. You're not going to have the personnel advantages week in, week out that he had in the Big Ten or even in the SEC. So, yes, I mean, could is it absolutely going to happen, Jim? No, I would not say that. But there is substantial interest on both sides, and he very well may put pen to paper with that franchise in the next couple of days and decide to do this. I know he's talked to people about potential staff. So, yes, it is serious, but given his health situations in the past, and he's going to ultimately have to make a final decision about, you know, whether what he's doing right now and that lifestyle is the way to go, or again, whether he's ready to reverse course and do something that is going to be far more rigorous physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all the above.
So we'll see. Jason Larkin for joining us again. All right, so GLC, tomorrow's slate of games starts with the NFL today, and then you've got Indianapolis at Buffalo. You pointed out on Baldy's breakdowns that the Colts can run the ball now, and they seem like they've really figured something out with Jonathan Taylor. Let me ask you this. Is there a scenario where you could see the Colts holding onto the ball and eating enough clock to make the Bills sweat, or is that Buffalo offense just too explosive?
I've kind of talked about, myself in and out of this through the course of the week, but I do believe in the Colts' mindset. They're not really a dome team. These aren't the Peyton Manning Colts. This is a team that has a hard helmet mindset. They've been built from the inside out, offensive line, defensive line. It's not the precision pass game and the timing. It's more about bludgeoning you on the ground. Frank Reich's not interested in style points. Doesn't care about aesthetics. Doesn't have to be sexy. So, yeah, I mean, Jim, I think the equation is, can they get to a point where they're holding the ball, you know, 36 minutes, 35 minutes? Can they get their total number of rushes and completed passes, you know, somewhere north of 35 rushes? And if that's the case, you know, 15 to 20 high percentage completed passes. If they're able to do that against the Bills defense that was 19th against the run, then I do wonder, that's still a young Bills team, and do they feel the pressure a little bit? And could Josh Allen revert from MVP form to more of what we saw in the second half last year against Houston, or more likely somewhere in between, neither extreme? And can Phillip Rivers do just enough in the pass game? And then, more to the point, will the Bills pick him off a couple times? Because they have some guys in the backfield who can do that, the defensive backfield. Although I do worry about their sort of cover two scheme, and it seems like they're fairly vanilla, and it seems the deeper we've gotten into the season and the more banged up that they've gotten, the more that teams are finding holes.
We're talking to GLC for another moment or so. Hang in there, GLC. You're almost there.
And yeah,
tell
Copper, sorry,
tell Copper to get you a glass of water.
Yeah, we'll survive.
I know you will, man. You're always going to play through. Really quickly, as somebody who proudly reps the city of Baltimore, what do you make of what you've seen from the Ravens during that five-game winning streak that they're taking into the postseason?
Well, I mean, I can tell you just from obviously living here and doing 4 hours of radio a day here, people are still kind of in wait and see mode. The last 5 weeks have been absolutely historic in terms of their offensive production on the ground. I mean, 1,337 yards in five games, averaging 6.4 a carry. It's pretty ridiculous. It doesn't happen in the pros. You don't run for 400 yards on a professional football team. But it's against the Bengals and it's the Cowboys and a bad Browns defense and the Giants defense that people thought was good against the run, but certainly wasn't on that day. And obviously, what can you do in the playoffs? I think if Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, continues to stick with the script that they've gone with the last five games, and even if they're behind by 10 or 13 or even 14, doesn't panic and continues with this three-headed monster of a rushing attack, that they find a way to win this game. I think it would be a high-scoring game. And it wouldn't shock me if both teams are scoring into the 30s and maybe one of them into the 40s.
Yeah, one bonus for you, since you mentioned it, 4 hours a day of radio, JLC. Like, I know you. I know how much you care about it. I know how hard you grind. But is it tougher than it looks, or maybe is it easier than you thought it would be? What's the radio experience been like for you?
Well, I love it, and I knew I would love it, and I love it even more than I thought I would love it. So it doesn't really feel like work, because I just constantly feel like the more I can educate myself, and I live and breathe this, and we do talk a lot of football, not exclusively, I mean, Orioles, Terps too, but the more I can sort of discover things through talking to people or research or stats that surprise myself, and I look at it as an honor to be able to then try to share that with other people here who have the same passion and try to make their fandom a little bit more informed and have some fun too. So no, it is, I mean, I didn't take it lightly. And it is tough, but it's a labor of love.
It's a great approach you have. He is JLC, an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com, a key part of the NFL Today's coverage tomorrow and on Sunday, and involved in all these other things, too. Jason, great to have you back. Have a great night, and I will check with you tomorrow.
Thanks for having me, brother.
You got it, dude. Appreciate you. JLC, he is a grinder. He's putting in the time, doing the work, as always.